It's a nightcap here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Holt to my left, Tim Murray with you live from the Circa Sportsbook. We have had a very intriguing, entertaining, however you want to classify it, day, and it just keeps on coming. Wisconsin and Purdue right now, 2.5 minutes to go in the second half. Lakers and Suns going on right now, and Nuggets, Bucks in the fourth quarter, where it has been all Nuggets tonight. The Denver Nuggets that went off as pretty significant underdogs tonight, closed tonight as 8-point dogs. They are up 101-87 on the Milwaukee Bucks right now with 9.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
And look, the Bucks were down 14 at half, and they're still down 14. They have not been able to cut into this lead by the Denver Nuggets here. Definitely the bad Bucks tonight. To your point, 5-game win streak, should have known.
Nikola Jokic, 27 points and 11 rebounds, or excuse me, 11 assists, not 11 rebounds, and 6 rebounds. So a double-double with assists, not rebounds for Jokic. Jamal Murray, he has 24 points. Giannis has 27 and 7 right now for the Bucks as they trail 101-87. Phoenix and the Lakers. Phoenix up 41-40. This one with 5 and change to go in the fourth quarter. The Lakers actually just hit a 3, so they lead 43-41. You know, the more I think about it, once again, the numbers are intriguing and in favor of a Joel Embiid. But I think you made a really good point and case for LeBron to win the MVP, Matt, which was, you know, we know it's a bit narrative driven. Now, I will give the voters credit. It's not blindly narrative driven. A lot of them actually, I've heard, you know, Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe have all said, I know for Simmons for sure, but others have said, you know, they got enamored a couple years ago with Russell Westbrook getting the triple-double, averaging the triple-double. He should not have been the MVP that year because of his usage rate and all that. So they've really dialed in on the analytics and looked at that quite a bit. And that's why I think last year was a runaway for Giannis to win MVP over LeBron, and I think rightfully so. But then you think about how he played in the bubble, even though that shouldn't affect it. I think it will be in the minds.
Yeah. Back-to-back years of playoff disappointments for Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis is clearly out of the picture right now, but LeBron hasn't won an MVP since 2012, even though, once again, if you look at all those seasons, it's kind of like the Russell Wilson MVP thing. He's never gotten an MVP, first-place MVP vote. Well, should he have?
Yeah.
No, he shouldn't, if you look at who he was up against. But this year, right now, the way he's playing, the way the Lakers are playing, thinking about how they won the championship, such a short offseason, and here they are doing what they're doing. I think you're right. If they get through this game tonight, either win or loss, they have a pretty soft schedule. The All-Star break, it could be a good spot for LeBron to get and the Lakers to get some wins and hopefully AD back on the floor.
Look, with their schedule and the All-Star break, it's very possible that they go 5-1 or 6-0 their next six and then get AD back as well. And at that point, I think it'll really be heavy LeBron.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So that game going on right now, a little bit of a collision with, it looks like, Devin Booker and KCP. So 44-43, Suns leading the Lakers. And this one, you would think with the Suns out there that the total would be high. Not the case. 215 here at Circa because the Lakers are such a strong defensive team. And right now trending pretty under in this one at 44-43.
This has been a great game, too. I mean, Phoenix got out to a really hot start, but the LeBron and the Lakers have rallied back. And I think we've just had 5 lead changes in the last 2.5 minutes. So looks like we're going to end the night with a good one tonight, my friend.
Absolutely. And then the college game going on right now that both Matt and I have a little bit of action on. Purdue and Wisconsin coming down the wire. Purdue up 67-64, a minute 22 to go. Purdue went off as a 2-point favorite. What'd you grab Purdue at?
-2.
-2. Okay. I grabbed just played money line in this one, and this one coming down to the wire at Mackey Arena with the Boilermakers leading by 3 over Wisconsin. We'll keep the college basketball discussion going here in just a little bit. Stick around. It's the Nightcap from Circa here on VSiN. It is is hour two of the nightcap here from the Circa Sportsbook. Such a great place to be as we get closer and closer to the big dance, March Madness, and the madness has begun. We will get into what happened in the Horizon League tournament earlier tonight. It was something. Huge games and NCAA tournament ramifications, seeding ramifications earlier today. We'll also get into some conference tournament odds. The A-10 tournament starts tomorrow. It's the early games, but it's going to lead us to talk into, though, because actually, if you look at some discrepancies in the marketplace, some differences out there, depending on who you like, you might be able to get a really intriguing number, a number that might be the one that you want to grab. So we'll compare a couple shops when it comes to the Atlantic 10, whose conference gets started tomorrow. The big boys don't. VCU, St. Bonaventure, those teams will wait a little bit. But tomorrow, actually, there is a spot tomorrow that
8 a.m. thriller.
You and I are are eyeing up a little bit there in the A-10 tournament. 67-64, Purdue leading Wisconsin right now with a minute 13 to go from Mackey Arena. Lakers have a one-point lead over the Suns, 45-44. Lakers went off as a two-point home dog in this spot.
Late. That last 10 minutes leading up to tip-off was all Phoenix action. You never see runs like that without injuries leading up to a game. Amazing run leading up to this one. All Suns action.
We were sitting here watching all the games finish up before we hit the airwaves. It was, you know, Phoenix on that big board, Phoenix plus one. And as I turned and looked at my computer before the show started, it was lighting up like a switchboard and got up all the way here at Circa. Phoenix minus two, 45-44, 3:23 to go in the first half. Purdue and Wisconsin, something we're keeping a very close eye on. And before we get to the A-10 tournament, I want to run through a couple of these finals from earlier today. We'll revisit the bad beat in Baylor, West Virginia, later on in this show. But Baylor, you know, this is a team just got to give a ton of credit to. You know, the COVID pause, they talked about it. Scott Drew, some of the players talked about how this just really hit them hard. They come out, they were sluggish against Iowa State. They got run off the floor at Phog Allen against Kansas. And tonight it looked like they were, you know, they got out to that hot start. They had a four-point lead at the half, and then West Virginia really dominated that second half. I don't want to say dominated, but controlled it and had the lead for the majority of it. And, you know, Baylor continues to prove, folks, that they are one of the best teams, really no doubt about it, in the country. To go to West Virginia to win this game in overtime, you know, to have big shots from Jared Butler to finish up with five threes and 25 points. Davion Mitchell had 20 points. Maceo Teague, for his standards, not a huge night, just 1 of 7 from three, but 11 points. This was a very impressive result for Baylor and just solidifying them as, I think, the second, that they should be the legit second favorite to win the national championship.
And I thought this answered some questions because everybody said, hey, does this team have, you know, lingering effects from COVID? Right. When you play West Virginia, if you have lingering effects from COVID, you cannot keep up with that pace. The Mountaineers set an unbelievable pace. It is so difficult to go down there to Morgantown and play at that pace that they play at. I thought this showed that Baylor is back. Baylor's ready to go.
Well, that being said, we'll talk more about this when the line pops tomorrow. But now, Baylor will be home, but they'll play Oklahoma State on Thursday, an Oklahoma State team that is playing very well right now. Coming off of a 45-minute marathon. Big dunk by Purdue, 69-64. is this a spot to maybe look to fade Baylor again? Now, I faded them today. It did not work out. It was a bad beat, but it was a loss. Is this a spot, depending on what the number ends up popping at, that this could be a look to fade Baylor?
I'm nervous that it's also a fade Oklahoma State spot.
After
coming off
back.
A sweep of in Bedlam.
Well, we faded them in the second game.
We did, and that didn't work out. And now coming off those back-to-back wins over Oklahoma that just have really excelled this team, at this point, in theory, this would be the letdown spot or the overvalue spot for Oklahoma State, especially with the exposure of Cade Cunningham going for 40 on Saturday. So I think it's going to be a stay away for me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If KenPom is a indicator of what this line may look like, you're going to be very surprised when this number comes out. Right now, KenPom projects this as a 12-point Baylor win.
I don't think it'll be 12, though, the spread.
I don't think so either.
I'm thinking 8.5 or 9.
Yeah, and I think people will look to bet Oklahoma State. I'm curious how the market will move on this game. This might be one of those fishy lines in favor of the favorite. You know, the fishiness goes both ways,
right?
And if it's too big, I think people might say, wow, this number's too big. Look at what Oklahoma State did. It's a spot, the letdown spot for Baylor. Yeah, I might be with you. This might be a stay-away stop. Maybe this is a team getting their legs back.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to be raring to go. But a hell of a win today for Baylor. Once again, 94-89. 4.5 was the spread last night. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Tough one in the first half. Tough one for the full game.
Illinois. Ayodesumu out. And they run away from Michigan. Michigan, since they had returned from COVID, their odds just continued to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink to win the national championship. At one point, they were actually listed as a co-favorite here at Circa with Gonzaga. Now, those odds have since shifted even prior to today's game. But tonight, is this just a tough loss in arguably the best conference in the country? Or is this an indicator, maybe Michigan isn't as good as we maybe thought they were?
No, I still think Michigan's really good, but I am blown away at how good Illinois is playing. And if you're an Illini fan, you have to be so excited about the future, because with Dasunmo being out, the one thing we've had an opportunity to do is see the freshman Andre Curbelo start getting some time. And this is a kid that was averaging less than 7 points a game, was playing about 18 minutes, but this is a highly touted freshman. He's gone for 12, 10, and 17 in the three games with Io out. And that means you're really, the future's bright still for the Illini, who are going to lose their top two players after this year. But it looks like this team's in good hands moving forward. And now you have a young freshman who hasn't got a ton of minutes, who probably built up some confidence going into the tournament. It just gives you that much more depth, that many more options in the NCAA tournament. Boy, Illinois is really red hot right now. And I think if the committee had to make a decision right this second, despite the fact that there is a big jumbled group for that fourth number one seed, I think after today's result, it would be the Illini.
Yeah, I agree. I think as of today, Illinois would have it, but a lot to unpack there, especially as Patrick Stevens said, this weekend, Illinois, I mean, this is what the Big Ten is. I mean, you just beat Wisconsin and Michigan on the road. Oh, now you have to go to Columbus on Saturday. Good luck. So Illinois, still with 6 losses, but you know the resume continues to build with quality win after quality win. And without Dasunmo, I imagine Dasunmo will play on Saturday against Ohio State in Columbus. That'll be a huge spot. And you know, with him being a game-time decision, I would think he would be back on the floor. But, yeah, this is an Illinois team. So much buzz preseason. And then I felt like early on in the year it was a little underwhelming. I think expectations were maybe too high on this team. They really weren't all that competitive against Baylor. They do go down to Duke and win, which we know doesn't look that impressive anymore. They lose at Missouri. They lost early to Rutgers. They had a home loss to Maryland. But since their loss at home to Ohio State, they've got just one loss to the ledger, and that was to Michigan State last week. They've been really impressive, and as we talked about, 3-0 now without Ayodesumu, and two of them as underdogs, beating Wisconsin, not as close as the score.
And that turned into, what, five-and-a-half-point
spread? It wasn't
spread?
And they won by five, but it wasn't a five-point game. I mean, that was a game Illinois really controlled. So
as a five-and-a-half-point underdog, they were up 20 in that game.
Yeah, they took care of business. In the bubble watch, how about Duke? Duke losing tonight, folks. Losing to Georgia Tech. You and I both on the Ramblin' Wreck. This game goes to overtime, and Georgia Tech wins it 81-77. The odds prior to today's games at DraftKings for Duke to get in had actually shrunk a little bit. They were at +175 yesterday. They went down to +125 today. Really looking at this game as, I wouldn't say a play-in game, because Duke or Georgia Tech, I don't think, play themselves out, but It really enhanced the resume of whoever won this game, and Georgia Tech wins the game, and now I feel like...
Well, they were a pick'em, right? The odds said they were a pick'em to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, minus 112. Yeah, minus 112 both ways. And I believe Patrick Stevens, who we had on, his last team in the field was Georgia Tech prior to today's win. So this will help them out. A very nice win over Duke. And Purdue missing both free throws is not ideal for the end-of-game situation here. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Not a...
Oh, man. 3 seconds to go. 71-69. They're going to foul. So I wouldn't say you're okay, but you're another potential here. By the way,
oh my goodness.
81-77 was the final score in Georgia Tech Duke. Guess what happened? Duke had a look at a buzzer, at a three at the buzzer that would have been a backdoor cover. They bricked it. And now this has the makings.
And I was laying 1.5, so that would have covered the backdoor.
I just went money line in both Georgia Tech and Purdue. And now,
you don't like anxiety?
I had enough of that today with Baylor and West Virginia. But here we go, down to the wire, 71-69. Purdue is laying 2. They have 2 free throws here with 2.2 seconds to go. A lot of 2s here for Purdue and Wisconsin. More bubble watch tonight. Indiana losing to Michigan State, 64-58. So Indiana, once again, according to Patrick Stevens, wrong side of the bubble, as was Michigan State. This is a big one for Michigan State. If they are to win one of their 2 games against Michigan, I think Michigan State, with the wins over Illinois and Ohio State and Michigan, I think would push them over into the right side of the bubble. But they got to beat Michigan. I really do.
At least one of them.
One win over Michigan. They have to sweep them, but they have to get one win because it would be a quad one win over Michigan. First free throw good there for
Purdue. Today was a must-have. They had to have today.
So I want to get to a conference tournament that starts tomorrow. It's a conference that, you know, you and I are pretty, we keep an eye on, and there's 2 of them. Let's start with the A-10, and there's some discrepancies in the odds in the Atlantic 10. Second free throw good for Purdue, so we're going to be on backdoor watch here for Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're good.
Yep. Deflected down.
Me too.
There's a winner.
Wow, 3-0 later.
Winner. There we go. Still, you know, we're like, I think sports gamblers and the folks listening at home know, we're like coaches. The losses are the ones that sting the most.
Yep.
The Baylor loss, the West Virginia loss, I should say, stings most. We had Purdue, and we gave all these out last night, I think.
Yep.
You know, we had Purdue. We were on I wasn't on Sparty. You were on Sparty.
Yep.
You love Georgetown. They win that game as an upset today.
The night was certainly a lot better than the afternoon.
Yeah, it was a good afternoon. It was a good evening, but unfortunately not the way. All right, let's get back to those A-10 odds, because the differences in some books is fascinating. So here's the Westgate Superbook for those watching on VSiN.com. St. Louis is a pretty significant favorite here, plus 175. The Bonnies, the favorites, the regular season champs, I beg your pardon, plus 400, VCU at plus 450. So to compare this to DraftKings, cut those in half. VCU is the favorite, and it's plus 225. That makes me feel like Bones Highlands may not be going in this tournament.
Yeah, especially the books that have St. Louis as the favorite. I agree. I know those tend to be a little bit sharper books. Westgate, John Murray and Jay over there, they do a lot of research. Those guys stay really tightly in tune with this stuff. And this kind of makes me feel, to your point, like maybe no Bones for the A-10 tournament.
So when you look at that, does that make you want to fire on a team like St. Louis? Now, you've talked about it more, of the rollover situation, but would you want to go get
St. Bonaventure, maybe?
See, the problem about St. Bonaventure, which I don't like, is they have the likelihood of playing Richmond in the second round.
Yeah.
Or Duquesne. I mean, their quarterfinal matchup, while they'll be waiting for it, the 8-9 and the 8-10 is Richmond and Duquesne.
Yeah.
Two teams that are pretty talented.
Duquesne might be the livest 100-1 team to win any conference tournament.
I mean, I like Duquesne. I was high on them. They brought back a lot. They had COVID pauses. Richmond certainly had theirs. So for St. Bonaventure, you've got a tough quarterfinal matchup. Then you have St. Louis in all likelihood. I do not like Bonaventure's spot in this tournament.
But other than St. Louis, who can you like? Because UMass, George Mason, no thanks, no thanks. Dayton, no thanks. I mean, can Rhode Island be sneaky? I don't know at this point. So it's Davidson. It's
here's
St.
the
Louis.
Thing. If Highland plays, if Bones Highland plays, I really like VCU in the bottom half of the bracket. You know, you're playing Dayton or Rhode Island, and then you're playing Davidson, who has looked fine at times, but just doesn't really scare you.
They took advantage of scheduling spots, like catching VCU without
Bones. They get swept. They got swept by St. Bonaventure, which is, once again, St. Bonaventure's good, but I think athletically, if Bones Highland is eligible or is able to play in the semifinal, I think VCU has got a good draw to the championship.
And good odds.
Yeah. And you can find some good odds there at the Westgate Superbook. Spring training baseball.
Oh.
If you're betting on spring training baseball, make sure you know what is happening right now in Arizona and Florida. If you don't know, we'll tell you next right here on the Nightcap. You know, bad beats are glorified, and a lot has to do with Van Pelt. We talk about him on this show. I think people can relate to bad beats a little bit more than being a little braggadocious. You know, I always give out winners. No, it's not the case. There's a lot of losers out there, and both you and I were on West Virginia today. That one hurt, but I wanna turn that frown upside down. Now we've had some winners. Purdue came home. Georgia Tech came home. Georgetown came home. Michigan State. That's good.
Yep. Good
and
night
tonight. You know what also else is good? You did not fire on the Bucks second half.
No.
And that was a big fat loser.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. And I certainly contemplated it and I just didn't do it. But
I didn't disagree either. I was like, you'd see the Bucks would give a fight. Bucks got outscored. The Bucks were down. The Bucks were down 14 at half. They were laying 8.5 in the second half, so still would lose by 5.
Yeah.
So you're thinking this game could be competitive. It's the Bucks. This is a Nuggets team without Gary Harris, Paul Millsap, and Jamichael Green. The Bucks got outscored by 17 in the second half.
Just unbelievable how bad. It was definitely bad Bucks night, and this team is so Jekyll and Hyde. 5-game win streak, 5-game losing streak, 5-game win streak, right back on track. And when they lose as gloriously as when they win.
They do.
This team is amazing.
128-97, the final score. The Bucks went off as an 8-point home favorite and got drubbed by 31 tonight. And here's the incredible thing. We always talk about props here on the show. Nikola Jokic goes over everything tonight. He goes over in points. He has 37. He leads all scorers with points tonight. He goes over in assists with 11, over in rebounds with 10, over points, rebounds, assists. But his triple-double prop was just 2-1. It's terrible odds. So I would have never played it. If I had to play anything, would have played the no. But it comes home. He gets the triple-double. We talked about it at the half. He had 9 assists, ends up with 11. So great game for the Joker as they win going away 128-97. It's the half in Los Angeles, and you look down for a second, you look back up. Phoenix got hot at the end of the half. It's 60-53 now. The Suns have a 7-point halftime lead. So when it felt like this thing was trending under, now a total of 113 points in the first half. It is teetering on over. It went off 215, really right on the number. What are we looking at second half in Los Angeles?
Lakers, a 1-point favorite, 111.5, your second half total.
So the Suns went off as a 2-point favorite Lakers only a 1 point second half favorite. Balanced scoring in the first half for Phoenix, 15 points for Devin Booker. He was over under 27.5. Chris Paul, no points, does have 6 assists. So if you play the over on 9.5 assists, you're feeling okay there. LeBron James with 15 points, 3 rebounds. Let's get to baseball. And it's spring training. So yeah, we're not breaking down spring training games or who we're going to bet on. But did you know that there's some weird things going on in spring training up until March 13th? And yesterday, the Red Sox were playing a game against the Atlanta Braves, and they just said, we're good. You good? We're good. Okay. The starting pitcher was, who was it? I think it was Richards, Garrett Richards. And they just said, two runs, three hits, we're good. So you've had to talk about this a lot, what's going on. What are books and jurisdictions thinking about spring training right now? Because they can do things like this. They can just end innings whenever they want.
It's been business as usual here in Nevada, but Nevada is certainly the exception to the rule here, as several states have actually prohibited exhibition baseball wagering up until March 13th. And many states are warning, you know, some of the operators that they need to be careful. Essentially, up until March 13th, the two coaches can basically decide when to end the game, you know. So that's why when you look at the finals, you see in 7, in 6, in 8, in 9 final. No, it's not just raining constantly in Arizona and Florida, and these games are getting rained out. The coaches are able to decide when enough is enough for the day. Hey, we got the guys in. You know, we got enough work for the guys we wanted to. Now, on March 13th, all the games will be scheduled for 9 innings. But until then, basically, it's you know, a carte blanche for these guys to play as many as they feel like.
I'm not going to tell people what not to bet on. Don't bet on spring training baseball.
At least not till March 13th.
Yeah, wait. If you're jonesing for some baseball action, just wait 11 days. There's a lot of college basketball to bet on. Some NBA, some hockey. Just wait until it becomes, you know, 9-inning baseball games. James Harden's return to Houston. Will he have a memorable night? We'll look at some of the prop bets next right here on the Nightcap. Nightcap here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up in a little bit, Johnny Avello, sportsbook director from DraftKings. And boy, we've been talking quite a bit about DraftKings and all their prop bets they've had in college basketball, really on the forefront of a lot of them. And you got to give them credit. They put them out there early on. You get some good numbers. We've looked at them, you know, with Colorado State being at plus 400 at one point in time. That's been whittled down. There was a week or so ago, Maryland was even money. Now they're minus 2,000 to make the field. Yeah. So there were some opportunities to be had out there for DraftKings and all the prop offerings they give. So always love talking to Johnny Avello. He will join us here in just a little bit. You want to bring up a stat real quickly before we get into tomorrow's Houston Rockets and Brooklyn Nets game as James Harden makes his return to Houston. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets win tonight, going away 128-97. Cover, they were an 8-point dog. They obviously cover that with ease, winning by 31 points. Nikola Jokic, his odds were very short to get a triple double, just 2-1, but it does come home as he gets the triple double, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 37 points. But you had an interesting stat. I think ESPN Stats and Info had it about Nikola Jokic and where he stands among centers with triple-doubles.
He became just the second player in NBA history, second center in NBA history to record 50 triple-doubles, joining Wilt Chamberlain. So that's pretty glorified air right there, and that's some good company. And that's probably why we're seeing plus 200 on Jokic to get a triple-double, considering he just recorded his 50th triple-double tonight.
So tomorrow night, we have, I believe, one line out there. The DraftKings just put this line out. And we could talk about more of that line top of the hour when JVT joins us. But Brooklyn is visiting Houston tomorrow. Brooklyn laying 6.5 against the Houston Rockets. But this is the James Harden return. And, you know, for James Harden, look, I'm not the only one. I mean, that he quit, he dogged it, he wanted out, and he kind of forced his way out. Ultimately got what he want. You know, Draymond Green came out and said, look, you know, James Harden wanted out, and he got vilified for it, which is, I understand his side, but there are better ways to do things, but we don't care about that. We care about how we're going to win money on plays. So James Harden, since going to the Brooklyn Nets in 22 games, he's averaging 25.3 points per game, 11.3 assists, 8.7 rebounds in 22 games, as I mentioned. So to record 10 or more assists is at plus 140. I would take the over because James Harden right now, I know you might be thinking, well, he's not going to facilitate. You know, that's not the way he's, you know, been playing lately. But, you know, Matt, it feels like every game, last night against San Antonio, 15 assists for James Harden. You know, in the month of March, 10.7 assists. He had a stretch to start the month of February, 14, 12, 10, 12, 5, 16, 14, 11, 11. He had a stretch to start the month of 8 of 9 games with 10 or more assists. So at plus money, I would absolutely take that prop at BetMGM that he'll have 10 or more assists tomorrow night.
And you know, regardless of the score, he's going to want to stay in there and rub it in the face of the Houston Rockets a bit. Oh, by the way, the Houston Rockets, who have lost 12 straight games
terrible.
At this point. Unbelievably bad.
I think that number is intriguingly low, sitting there at 6.5. I know Brooklyn's on the road at Houston, but yeah, that number seems low. Would you take a shot on him to go for 40 or more? Now, looking at what he's done, he hasn't been a, you know, prolific scorer since getting to Brooklyn. He's had a couple 30-point games, no 40-point games yet. His Nets high is 38, and that was when Kyrie was out, as well as Kevin Durant. At plus 325, would you take a flyer on James Harden to score 40 or more points tomorrow?
I think I would take a shot on every one of those right down the line, even maybe to score 50. Because I feel like Houston's so bad, he can almost name his score. And if he wants to tomorrow, I mean, Kyrie and Kupri are going to be like, go get yours, James. I mean, come on.
Well, what is he rubbing it in for? I mean, you know, he got out. He didn't want to be there anymore. I don't know what he was disgruntled about, but yeah, he got out. To make 5 or more threes is plus 160. This is price. This is the proper number because he has had just one situation where he's had more than 5 threes. He had a 6 three-point game against the Sacramento Kings, but he's had multiple 5-point games. He's had 4 games where he's landed right on 5. But to your point, you know, going up against Houston,
you just don't know. I mean, we could speculate that maybe he doesn't want to rub it. We don't know his mindset here. And if he wants to go for 50 against his former team tomorrow, I don't know that Houston has any ability to stop him.
You know, to me, though, the best bet of these props, and you would think maybe because he's going to go out and get his points, this wouldn't be. But I just look at the way he's facilitating right now with the assist numbers to get plus money on just 10. Because, you know, I think DraftKings has had his assist prop around 11.5. So if you're getting plus money at 10 or over, I think that's a good play at plus 140, even though you would think he's going to go out and score a ton of points against Houston. But, you know, just looking at the way he's been facilitating since he's gotten to Brooklyn, it's remarkable the numbers, the assist numbers he's, you know, put up since getting to Brooklyn. His first game in Brooklyn, 14 assists, 12, 12, 11, 11, 8, 15, 11. That was the month of January. I mean, there are much fewer games where he has single-digit assists compared to double-digit assists. So plus 140, I would play that right now at BetMGM on James Harden assists against the Rockets tomorrow night.
Boy, has he settled into that role as point guard. I mean, he said clearly, I'm going to be the point guard, Kyrie's going to be the two, and they both have embraced those roles. And boy, have they both flourished in those roles.
Second half underway in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles, the Lakers, a one-point second-half favorite, and it's now 70-61. The Phoenix Suns have that
and
lead.
And Frank Vogel just got teed up for the Lakers.
Yeah, so we'll see if that sparks the Lakers. And the Lakers right now trailing the Phoenix Suns 70-61. That one early in the third quarter. JVT, our NBA senior analyst, will join us at the top of the hour. Talk some NBA futures, including MVP. But up next, Johnny Avello. All those props we've been talking about when it comes to Selection Sunday. How much action are they getting on them? How much are they moving on them? Johnny Avello will have all those answers. The sportsbook director from DraftKings will join us next right here on the Nightcap. It's the Nightcap here on VSiN, and we've got a development in Los Angeles. Devin Booker has been ejected from the Suns-Lakers game midway through the third quarter. The Lakers on a little bit of a run here, 5-0 run. They're trailing 70-66, but boy, oh boy, this might jumpstart the Lakers here. And if you bet Devin Booker props, that is it's a bit of a beat there for you. Let's just take a look real quick before we bring in Johnny Avello from DraftKings. Devin Booker, yep, under on points, under on threes, and he will not be the game's leading scorer, which you could have got a little plus money at a plus 105 as LeBron now has 22 points. Devin Booker, he gone. 70-68 now, media timeout, 6:39 to go in the third quarter.
Both teams getting chippy with the refs here. We saw Frank Vogel get teed up, and now Devin Booker ejected. This one is getting really chippy tonight.
Well, let's bring in Johnny Avello. We talk about DraftKings all the time, the prop offerings that they have there. It's so many offerings on a daily basis. And Johnny, I want to start with this Suns-Lakers game. Just big picture, though. On a nightly basis, you know, you're seeing it more and more, people talking about these prop plays, and you guys have so many. You know, who will score the first bucket? Obviously, points, rebounds, assists. You know, who will be the game's leading scorer? How do you guys, on a nightly, night-to-night basis, what is the handle looking like for the NBA and the prop market? Because it feels like there's a lot of intrigue out there.
It's feeling pretty good, Timmy. You know, we put up a lot of content. We're in a lot of areas, a lot of jurisdictions. So just think of Las Vegas times 12 and then some, because, you know, we're on the digital side and we're just everywhere. It's not like you have to walk into a place. So things are looking good, and we're going to continue to keep pursuing that. Not only that, but more content.
Yeah, and you know, something that, and a lot of it has to do with Matt and I being big college hoop fans and following it as closely as we do, and you know, a handful of our guests, you know, are intrigued about it as well. But the Selection Sunday props that you guys have had up for a couple weeks, you know, whether it be who's going to be in, and you know, yes, no on who's in and who's out, over under on seeds, which I think is really unique. Who will get that final number one seed? With these type of future offerings, what has the handle been like there? And you guys are having to adjust these really rapidly. How does that work? Are you just keeping an eye on all the different bracketologists out there?
Yeah, you know, I think what makes it interesting for the player is that we're, like, if you go on our site right now, you won't find it.
Right.
You only find the stuff up right now where the teams are not playing.
Mm-hmm.
When they're playing, we take it down. So I think that for the players It's like putting candy in front of them and taking it away. So I think they need to come back and keep looking and finding the stuff that, you know, that they're want to bet, where they think there's some value. Like tomorrow morning, we'll have all that stuff back up again. We'll have a couple of teams. Will they make the tournament? Won't they make the tournament? So we're constantly keeping it fresh. But it can't be up all the time because we're in jeopardy if we just keep it all of that up all the time. So we've been taking it down when those teams are playing, or something will affect that, a team that's playing.
So when we have a game like the Lakers tonight, isolated game, only game left on the board, the Lakers are probably the most popular team in the NBA. Is this a huge in-play live wagering game for you guys? I mean, this one feels like it's probably a big-time live wagering spot.
It is. They actually played the Suns pregame tonight, and they bet the over pregame. But the when you have a game like this isolated, it's the Lakers and everybody can watch it. You bet, you bet this thing is getting a lot of action in the in game. That's always the beauty of an isolated game, whether it's a Super Bowl or a final game of a tournament or the late game for the NBA.
Yeah, Johnny, and sticking with the NBA, where are you guys on your MVP market? Because I think this is, we were talking about one-shot points bet actually got to co-favorites right now with LeBron and Joel Embiid. Other shops aren't as that aggressive, but where are you guys in the MVP market, and who do you ultimately need? Who would be, I guess to rephrase that, who would be a bad result for you guys when it comes to the MVP?
Well, LeBron took a lot of money, and he was down to like plus $1.40. So he's kind of inched back up a little bit to plus 175. Joel Embiid is, he's 3-1 now. So he's another guy that's been taking some money. Now there's guys out there like Harden I saw today. He's 33-1. He's been getting bet pretty much on a steady basis too. So there's some long shots out there. Some of the shorter price guys were bet early. LeBron is a popular choice at any number for, I just like to bet him. And, he's got all the tools and he is an MVP every single year, whether he wins it or not.
So what was interesting heading into today, Johnny, for the first time in 2021, Baylor wasn't the second favorite to win the NCAA tournament. Suddenly the Michigan Wolverines had jumped Baylor at several properties. Well, Baylor comes back with a really impressive road win at West Virginia. Michigan gets absolutely throttled at home against an Illinois team without their best player. Baylor back to being the number two favorite tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I think so. West Virginia is a quality team. That game could have went either way tonight. I feel bad for the people that took West Virginia, but the one that took Baylor got there. So, that happens in an overtime game, unfortunately. But, yeah, Baylor should be back in that two spot.
Thanks, Johnny.
Sorry.
Thank you. Bringing up just, it's like picking a scab. He just had to gotta bounce back. You remember the losses more than the wins. It's the way it goes. Talking to Johnny Avello from DraftKings. When it comes to the futures book, with Gonzaga being priced so aggressively everywhere early on in the year, Johnny, are you guys in good shape with Gonzaga? Because I got to imagine, Michigan, I don't know where you guys opened Michigan, but there were some shops around the country, plus 125, 125 to 1, 100 to 1, 80 to 1. So who would Michigan be a big loser for you guys in the futures book?
They've been bet pretty good. Remember, you could have had them at 10-1 only maybe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks at the most. They were dropping. They were 8 and then 7 and, now they're down to a shorter price. Well, they lost tonight, so maybe we'll take them back up tomorrow a little bit too. Michigan's one of those teams that's been bet. Gonzaga's not going to hurt us, and Baylor's not going to hurt us. They are the two favorites at the beginning of the year. There's some teams out there that have some really good seasons that you could have got at a pretty good price. And then there's some teams that certainly have the bias because of where we're located, like a Villanova. They grab a lot of money in that Philadelphia area. But we're not in too bad a shape. There's no one right now that really hurts us too badly.
Johnny, we were talking to Patrick Everson yesterday here in studio, and obviously he keeps tabs on pretty much every book across the country. And with you guys now in more jurisdictions, and the fact that we didn't have the NCAA tournament last year, I don't know if that's going to ratchet up intrigue, interest, but are you guys anticipating a monster type of handle for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, we are. You know, first of all, it's in one state, and that's okay. I don't think that's really going to take away from it. But, you know, the tournament is the tournament. Now, college basketball has been a little strange this year, mm-hmm. as we all know. I mean, you got your teams that normally play very well or may not even make the tournament. Kentucky's and Duke's. And mm-hmm. So it's strange not to have some teams around, but that's not going to take away from it. We introduced the contest yesterday and today. It's a bracket contest, millionaire brackets, and it's $100 to enter, 20 entries max per person, and we're $1 million to the winner and $2 million in total prize money. And the way it works is you got to just fill out your whole bracket before it starts. No spread, and whoever picks the most winners. We're paying down a lot of spots. It's in Colorado, New Hampshire, New Jersey, and West Virginia.
Nice.
So we're... that's the start of what we're anticipating, Timmy. We're throwing out a big contest, and we're thinking it's going to be just a banner March Madness time of the year.
Well, nothing gets people's attention like $1 million, and you guys do such a great job with these contests and promotions and all the content. You know, we were talking a little earlier about you know, the MLB exhibition season and this weird rules leading up to March 13th. Has it been a little tricky opening up the baseball exhibition season with these, you know, teams being able to kind of call it quits whenever they want, a little confusion from the bettors around that? I know it's been a little chaotic with some of the folks we've spoken to. It's not something that's heavily bet handle-wise, but how's exhibition baseball been so far?
Well, you know, they're betting it, but we're not putting up totals on it. You can't. Like you mentioned, you know, the coaches can wave the white flag anytime they want. And, you know, it's almost like we can throw in a towel because we're getting beat in a fight. it's crazy. It really is. I mean, some of these rules in baseball are just not things we've seen in the past. So I don't know if it's going to stay this way in baseball. I know the season coming up, they've adopted some of the rules that they had last year, the extra inning rules. But I'm thinking long term, are they going to continue to have these type of rules? Is this just to get through, you know, COVID times? I'll be honest with you, I don't like them. We're living with them. I'm glad to have the sport, but you know, as a baseball enthusiast, I'm just not happy with what I'm seeing.
He's Johnny Avello, a baseball enthusiast and the DraftKings Sportsbook director. Johnny, you're the best. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Johnny.
There he is, Johnny Avello. And yeah, with the offerings that they have, it is going to be massive.
Unbelievable. They massive. Do such a great job. Johnny's a legend, too. I mean, all those years at the Wind, he's the best.
Talk to JVT, our senior NBA analyst, next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Nightcap on VSiN.